This morning, I thought I'd start my message from In the Crowd. Our title right now is Faces in the Crowd. And you're all part of the crowd this morning. And I know you're looking for me up the front, but I'm in the crowd. And every one of us is in the crowd this morning. And I thought it'd be a great way to start the message, because the reality is we all start out in the crowd. We all start out, we live in the crowd, and whatever God is going to do with you or for you, it always starts in the crowd. It starts in the general, it starts where you are. You've got to know where you are and who you are. We've talked about identity, we've talked about knowing who you are, because life does begin in the crowd. And the reality is that as I walk around in the crowd this morning, fitting in is really part of how you do life. So are you feeling comfortable this morning? Because fitting in is really all about how you do life. So before you sit down this morning, I really want to challenge you. You know, you have to know how to negotiate life. And if you don't know how to negotiate life, your insecurities, your fears, the disappointments in your life, if you can't negotiate those in the crowd, you'll probably never make it to be where God's called you to be. So this morning as I preach, I want to remind you it's Pentecost Sunday. It's Pentecost. The church calendar right across the world today, everybody celebrates a thing called Pentecost Sunday, because the reality is that's who we are. So you will go through stuff. You'll go through pleasant things. You'll go through difficult things. But I want you to know this today, that it's God who takes you through. It's God who takes you through. Come on, everybody. It's God who takes you through. And I think sometimes we face stuff that we don't know how to deal with, but I really want to challenge you today. If you don't know what Genesis 16:13 says, if you haven't adopted that into your life, you are the God who sees me. Wherever you're sitting today, wherever you're standing today, I want you just to take a moment and focus. You're the God who sees me. I really want you to do that this morning. Because it's so easy to come to another service, sit through another service and experience that. In fact, right now, I really believe that God's hand is extended toward you. And in the middle of this crowd, God says, I see your heart. God says, my hand is upon you. I called you before you were even ever formed in your mother's womb. God says, right then I had a destiny for your life. Right now you're standing in the middle of that destiny and the purposes of God. And God says, you don't have to fear. You don't have to look back. You don't have to struggle with who you are, because I made you who you are. And God says, get ready for this season in your life to be a blessed season. Right now, come over here. I want to pray for you. Is that okay? I just see the hand of God on you this morning, and I believe a touch of heaven. And I don't know what it is you're crying out to God for right now, but if Hagar is walking through the desert, that's where that verse comes from, a woman by the name of Hagar, who felt like she maybe didn't fit in, like she didn't belong, but right there God says, hey, I got you. I really believe God says to you today, I got your back. I got your back. I got it all sorted. And remember, Hagar was the first person God ever talked to in the Bible outside of Eve. First person ever. Probably the first woman, because I don't know that he talked to Eve, he talked to Adam. He said, don't eat the apple, but Adam wasn't there. But the first woman recorded was a Gentile woman by the name of Hagar, and God turns up and says, I got your back. I see you. I want some people here to know that this morning. I want you to contemplate right now and take a moment. It's called Faces in the Crowd. God's got your back, honey. Father, I thank you right now for the power of God on you. I thank you, God, that you have got her back. You've got it all sorted. I thank you for the cries and the dreams in your heart, that today the fulfillment of God come upon every part of your life. And I really believe that the hand of God's all around you to fulfill dreams and fulfill desires. And wherever you stand in the crowd today, God says, lift up your eyes and fix them on me. I am the answer. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that. Come on, give God a hand clap right there. So while we all just stand in His presence today, in this crowd, I want to give you my first point today. And it's before you can ever stand out, before you can ever be who God wants you to be, you need to know how to fit in. You've got to know how to fit in. And the reality is today, His presence does have a purpose. You're not an accident. There's not one person here who's an accident. Every one of you is divinely appointed and destined of God to be in this moment, in this time. And some people are so busy trying to stand out that they literally miss what it is to actually fit in, to know where you fit. So right now in this attitude of prayer, I want you to contemplate on God. Has God His eyes on your life, on your circumstances, on your difficulty, on your struggle this morning, on your confusion, whatever? Remember, the woman we're talking about here was highly confused. She was pregnant to Abraham, and Abraham didn't care about her. Sarah hated her. Sarai, or whatever her name was then. And she just didn't know where she fitted. But you know what? God said, hey, I got you. I got you. And I know there's people here today that would wonder, where the hang do I fit in this big bad world? Where the hang do I stand in this crowd? Even maybe here in this church. How do I fit? Where do I stand? And I want you to just close your eyes for a moment and just contemplate. God, I need to know where I fit before I can stand. And I want to fit in your divine purpose. I want to fit in your divine calling upon my life. Just let God touch you with that this morning. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray right across this place this morning, as people stand in your presence, or as everybody contemplates, God, where you fit in their lives, in this crowded world, in this crowded life, God, that we want to know where we fit and who we are. And Father, I pray you'd give revelation this morning. You'd give purpose this morning. God, you'd give your presence, that we would know your presence on this Pentecost Sunday. God, that we would know the incredible embrace of the Holy Spirit right now. In Jesus' name. Why don't we all pray that together? Say, Holy Spirit, let me know where I fit in your purpose, your plan in my life, for my family, my home, my marriage, my life, my calling. God, I want to be in the center of your will. So I ask you to lead me and guide me. I want to hear your voice. I want to know that you see me. Amen. Amen. All right, give someone a hug on that note and say, God sees you. God sees you. Thank you, guys. You're awesome. Give these guys a huge hand clap this morning. God sees you. And I thank God that all through my... I feel so blessed. You've got no idea how blessed I feel. Why? Because I know He's got my back. Man, when you know that, I don't think you've got to worry in the world. Because we'll all go through stuff. My second point this morning, did you get the first one? You got the first one? My second point this morning, and I'll give you this, is it's all part of the journey. It's all part of the journey. And I think sometimes, like this morning, our natural, we're so tied up in the net. Where is he? Why isn't he standing at the front? I think sometimes we just want to be where we think we want to be before we go through some stuff. But we all go through stuff. Anybody been through some stuff this week? Some of you haven't. Amazing. You've had a week where you didn't go through any stuff. You lucky people. See, sometimes we think we're all alone in that. You better believe that Hagar thought she was all alone. We use the verse, Genesis 16:13, you are the God who sees me. But what did he see her in? He saw her in confusion, doubt, disbelief, shame, disappointment, just about everything that most of us face, if not through a lying voice that would try to condemn us. But in life, we face these things. We go through stuff. So it's all part of the journey. Would you yell that out this morning? It's all part of the journey. Even for those who didn't go through a thing this week, it's all part of the journey. Maybe you had the best week that could ever happen. It's all part of the journey. But the reality is most of us would have gone through stuff that was maybe difficult, disappointing, maybe even brought shame upon us, and we didn't feel we could be who we should be. Because I think we all want to be there, you know. It's like, why isn't he at the front when he starts preaching? Because that's where we think it should be. Most of us are trying to get there somehow. We know where we should be. We know where we belong. I'm down the back preaching, thinking I'm meant to be at the front. Most of us are thinking, in our lives though, there's a lot of stuff, we should be here, but we're not there. Why aren't we there? And we pull ourselves down on a regular basis. I want to say today, God sees you right where you are. God sees you're in the perfect place right now to be where you need to be. Oh, that's a tough one to get your head around. You're in the perfect place right now to be where you need to be. Because it's always a journey. Things never end up like they started. Julia and I started out, there was just the two of us. Just the two of us. It was a piece of cake. Just the... No, she's not sure on that. And in all honesty, in all fairness, at that stage I wasn't born again, so it was difficult days. Difficult days. But just the two of us, a lot easier than when it was the six of us. And yet it was all part of the journey. It's part of the journey to be where we are today. You'll go through stuff. And I believe that the designation is important. You need to know where you're going. You need to know whose you are. One of the most important things in life is to know who you belong to. See, Hagar's out in the desert there. She didn't feel like she belonged to Abraham any longer. She was a maid there. She didn't believe that Sarai cared for her any longer. She was a lost individual in the middle of a crowded world, not knowing where she stood, who she belonged to, or what her purpose or her destiny was. And then God lets him know that he has totally got her back. And friend, whoever you are today, there's a bigger purpose than where you are right now. Come on. There's a bigger purpose than where you are right now. A massive purpose on your life. That maybe you can't. I want to pray for you this morning. Can I just see the hand? Is that okay? Give me a hand, girl. God, I thank you for your incredible hand that says this morning, I see you. God, that you are, if no one else notices, God, you see the struggle, the disappointments, the hopes, the unrealized dreams. But I want to say today, get ready for God to release dreams in your life, girl. Get ready for it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And someone's in that journey more than just the one or two that I pray for, but there are people right now that are in that journey this morning. Hey, where do I belong? Where do I fit? How am I ever going to get there? When will I arrive? Can I say today, keep going. Bible says the steps of a good man, that includes women, teenagers, whoever you are, and even if you're not good, I think it includes you. Because otherwise we just have it for us four and no more. But it's everybody, because I think to say we're good, we can only be really good in Christ. When Christ is in me, I become a perfect individual according to his plan. But without Christ, we struggle with the shackles of sin, the stains of sin, But how many know Jesus came to set us free from the curse of sin? And oh boy, I'm glad about the day I received Christ as my Savior. I'm still glad about it. It didn't wear off. I didn't become some kind of religious, boring individual. I'm more fired up about my salvation today than I've ever been. Because I know right now that God's fulfilling purpose, that I started on a journey being unclear of where it would take me. But today I see and I realize the importance. You see, the problem with most people, I believe, is you define yourself by where you're at. You define yourself by where you're at now. See, I've never, ever defined myself by where I'm at now. I've always defined myself by the Word of God. So what does God say about you this morning? God says, so many things. You're a mighty warrior. You're a conqueror. You're a victorious individual. You're an overcomer. You know, we're good at being undercomers. You know, we're good at that. It's easy to go there. Easy to go there. Every day of our life we could go. But my Bible calls you an overcomer. And if we define ourselves by where we're at, we underestimate the power of the Word of God or the power of Pentecost in our lives. Because Jesus, it says in Acts that Jesus breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit to become more than what they were. Hello, more than what you are. I mean, who wants to become more than what you are? You know, we all need a little bit of that. We all need a little bit of more than what we are. How many have shared the love of Christ with somebody this week? Then put your hand up right now if you haven't. You know, we need more than what we are. It's apparent to me in the Christian world today that we need more than what we are. Because the reality is we should be people who share the love of Christ wherever we are. And, the amazing thing is that the minute someone takes a step forward and says, this is where I am, I'm believing what God says to me, so I'm going to step up. And I'm going to get to a new level. Man, do people ever have issues with that? Even people will try to pull you, you don't belong there. See, it's not only the devil that doesn't believe that you belong in a better platform. It's sometimes the people around you who think you should just stay the same all your life. It's so true in life that people will see you as what you are or how you started, and they try to hold you in that. But hey, let's step up onto a new level this week and be something that we're not because of the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Let's be more confident. Let's be more victorious. Let's be bolder in our faith and our sharing of the love of Jesus. I was asked the other day, what's my favorite verse in the Bible? What's my life verse of you? I mean, reality, I don't even know how that eventuated that question, but anyway, it gets asked. Does anybody here have a life verse? Not a living soul. Does anybody here have, I love Pastor Tricia. She's like, I haven't got one. Like, that would be me too. I've got the whole Bible. It's kind of my life. But just every season in life, I believe it's good to have a life verse. My verse for my life right now is, by this will all men know that you are my disciples. By this will all men know that you are my disciples. If you have love one for another. Because I think, sadly to say, we're sometimes known not for what we should be, but we're known for our disappointment in life. And it causes us, if you're not careful, you get a hard heart and because your skin's too soft. I always remember I made an appointment with a great man of God before we ever stepped into pastoring a church. And I went and saw this guy who had pastored a massive church, the biggest church in the Southern Hemisphere at the time. And I went and saw him. It was very hard to get an appointment with him. But when I did, I said to him, can you just give me some pointers that you think might help me on this journey? Because I'm intending to step up a little. And I know that that's going to, it's like you may as well paint a target on yourself. And he said, exactly, my first bit of advice to you, never develop a hard heart. Always keep a soft heart. He said, the secret is, have tough skin, soft heart, not a tough heart and soft skin. See, you say things to some people and they're wounded so easily. Hey, shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. It's part of the journey. It's part of the journey. And I know that God's got an incredible journey. It's all part of the journey. The pain you went through this week, the disappointment some of you didn't go through this week, it's all part of the journey. So let me encourage you today, let's be people that know how to handle the in-between. See, it's easy once you arrive. Once you arrive, man, we're all happy. You know, people say to me, oh, Don, I just want to get on stage and preach. You know, been saved for 2 hours. I just want to get on stage and preach, you know. Just dealt with some demons in their lives and just got delivered and, but I want to be on stage and preach. Well, you've got to do the journey. It's a journey. The journey, the proof is often in the journey. And I have learned this in life, that sometimes the things that come too fast are the things we lose so incredibly rapidly when we arrive. And you see people who arrive ahead of their time, and it seems so disappointing that they seem to stay there so short a time. Whether it's winning lotto or whatever it is, they don't have the character to hold what the blessing was in their life. I'm a blessed man today because we've been on the journey. And I want to say today, I reckon there's amazing people here today that God is taking you on a journey right now. And I want to say this to you. If you are thinking of quitting, if you're thinking it's too hard, if you're thinking of looking back, I want to say, lift up your eyes and fix them on Jesus Christ, because He is your solid foundation. He's your solid foundation. No matter what the disappointment is, He's your solid foundation. No matter what people have said to you, He is still your solid foundation. They said all manner of things against Christ, yet He took every bit of it and He still said, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. The reality is in your life today, I believe the victory comes sometimes through the struggle. Hard to say even, but the victory does come through the struggle. And I believe this, it's a journey that strengthens you. I feel stronger today than the day I first got born again because there's been some struggles. Anyone here who goes to the gym, as you can tell, I haven't been recently. Although I look like I've been. Sometimes it's a good thing just to look like you've been to the gym. You know? And that's not hard. You just watch the way you eat. You watch what you eat. Julia and other people are telling me all about carbs and all those sort of things and when to eat the right things and when not to. And that'll make you look like you've at least been to the gym. Admittedly, I do a bit of swimming. And wherever I travel in the world, people say, boy, you look fit. What do? I say, I swim. And I do go to the gym from time to time. I do love the gym. Well, no, I don't. That's a stupid thing to say. Nobody loves the gym. Nobody in the world would love the gym. It's like, that's hard yakka. That's hard work. But I love what the gym does to me. It makes me look good. And then people say, boy, you look good. And that helps you. That helps you when you're journeying through life. Sorry? Move on. That's my narcissistic nature coming out, all right? Let me get a selfie of myself. Here's my thing. Okay. Anyway, just moving on though, the reality is that going through the tough things prepares you for what your future is. My next point, the third thing I want to give you today, the things you learn along the way make you able to process and understand the people around you. Because if it all went well for us, then we struggle to understand the hurting person. And if we're going to be a church that sees the faces in the crowd, man, we better understand that it's not all about I'm cool, I look the best in the place and everything's going. We need to understand what people are battling with. There's a million things that people are battling with today. It's like they're battling with their identity. They're battling with who. People who are on the top of the top rung of the ladder are battling with their identity, their self-esteem, and who the hang they are. And I know it never looks like that. We can make ourselves look good. We can have the whatever, the facelift, the tuck, and all the deal to make us look good, but it's what you are on the inside. And I believe God has given us supernatural eyes that can look beyond the surface and see where a person's really at. And we can call out hope in them, and we can call out destiny. And we can understand. And here's the thing. The things you learn along the way help you to actually comply with life. They help you to actually deal with it. Somebody says something you don't like, and then when you get there, you're stronger. We don't like the way we have to go. Often we don't like the journey. But I'm going to say, just learn to love the journey today, can you? Mm-hmm. Who's going to decide I'm going to love the journey, okay? Julia and I keep a gratitude diary. I talked about it on Thursday night, actually, the gratitude diary that we get. We keep a gratitude diary. Somebody said to me on Thursday night, that's amazing you keep a gratitude diary, because did you know that doctors have now proved that the pills people take for heart disease, they can throw the pills away if they just keep a gratitude diary. Science is proving that. A gratitude diary. So, are you got anything you're thankful? God, I thank you for the journey I'm on. As tough as it was for some of us this week, God, I thank you for the journey I'm on. Just tell a person next to you, I'm really glad about the journey I'm on. Because we're the best in the world at complaining. We love to complain. We read the Bible and we say, good job you had to spend 40 years in the wilderness, you Israelites. You were complainers. But you're a complainer too. Did anybody complain to their wife, their husband, their spouse this week? Oh boy, there's some honest people in this crowd. Even I might put up half a hand there, just to be a little transparent, because Julia's sitting on the front row, if I don't say it, she will. But we are complainers. By nature, we love to complain. We complain about a host of things in our lives. This girl that we're talking about here, she was complaining about her life. And it never stops. It never stops. We think we are holier than thou because maybe we've made a decision and prayed a prayer, but the reality is we are complainers. And so we look back on a generation before us and we say, if you didn't complain, it might have been better. In fact, listen to this in Exodus chapter 13 and verse 17. God led the people out of Israel, okay? So when, verse 17, when Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road. I mean, flipping heck. Let's take the shortest A to B as the crow flies. I want to live my life that way. But listen, God did not lead them that way because it ran through the Philistine territory. And even though that was the shortest route to the promised land, God said, the problem is if the people face a battle, they might change their minds and want to go back to Egypt. Interesting. So God took them on a 40-year journey. You're complaining about the last 4 years in your life? Get over yourself. These guys had a 40-year journey to get the complaints out of them. So wherever you're at today and you're complaining, just deal with the complaining. Just deal with it. Start a gratitude diary and start to write down what you're thankful for today. It's easy, really. It's easy. It's just the principles of life. It's the principles at work. A gratitude diary. A to-do list. A to-do list. Live your life. I learned this week also. I learned a lot this week, actually. I learned that the Hebrew calendar starts on the night. The day starts the night before the morning. And we wake up in the morning and we try to work out our to-do list. What am I going to do today? What am I going to do today? But in the Hebrew calendar, they would write it the night before because the day starts on the eve of the night of the last day is when their day starts, and they write their to-do list and they meditate on it overnight and they get up in the morning refreshed and powered up and prayed up in God and ready to go in Jesus' name. Is this helping anybody today? I reckon we can change our destiny. I reckon we can make it through the complaining season. I reckon we can live in the victory that God's got for us. Listen, if I can do it, anybody can do it. Ask my teachers when I was at school. I remember having to stand in the corner. If we did that today, I'm sure I could sue them. I'm sure. But I remember standing, talk about faces in the crowd. I remember standing in the corner of my classroom with a hat. They used to put a D. It had a big D on it, this hat. And I thought it must be for my name. So that's why I'm such a good self-esteem. But somebody pointed out one day that it actually means dunce. But you know what? I just thought, boy, it's cool that I get a hat that's actually got my first initial of my name on. So I was quite proud to stand in the corner of school, just smiling at everybody wearing this big D hat. The teacher had a different view, but because inside here, it's what's on the inside of you, guys. You've got God on the inside of you. Anything's a possibility. You can go through the long, long drawn out wilderness journey. God will protect you and keep you as you go through there. You can come out the other side rejoicing in your God. And I want to tell you today, I believe there's some people here that are going to walk in the victory that God's got for them today. Why? You're not just a face in the crowd. You're a person that God sees, that God's got his eye on you, that God has a planned purpose in your life, and you are destined for victory. Finally, in my last point today, do not despise the day of small beginnings. And I reckon, honestly, so many people despise the day. I got a phone call this week, and just share that with you, and a guy I've never met in my life, the most beautiful man, a man who pastors a massive church in America. And you know, when we start, I remember when we started out, man, I was working on the tools, I was working all week, had a job all week, and we'd go preach in the weekends. Not because I wanted to, just because I had so many appointments and people wanted me to come. They wanted me to come and share my testimony here, there, and everywhere. And it was just, and I'd have to sleep with animals, horrible places. They had no idea how to look after anybody, and you'd have to sleep in sheds outside. I remember sleeping, Basil, you'd remember that. One night I stayed in a place and it had, I remember there was a snake up in the rafters. And I was terrified. They said it's only a carpet snake. It won't bite you. But I'm a Kiwi. Anything with the snake thing is going to kill you in the middle of the night. And you'd think I was going to sleep. And then I remember getting into my... And it was in a shed. It was in a shed outside the house. And that's where they had me. And we'd had a fired up meeting. I went back to the I remember the worst thing was they put me in the shed before I went to the meeting. And so when I left the shed, I thought, this is going to be a freaky place at night. So I put the lights on. Time I got back to the room that night, this is in Australia, outback Australia. I got back there. There were creatures bigger than some of you flying around in the room. There were massive creatures all over that room. There were things everywhere. I remember going to my room that night and I just saw the bed. And I thought, boy, if I just make it into the bed alive. And so I phoned up. I mean, I know. This is how it went. I dived in. And then when I dived into the bed, they had flipping rollers on the bed. It had wheels on it. And when I dived in, the velocity of my weight caused the bed to begin to journey. And I just dived in and just yanked everything over me I could. You know how you get under the blankets and you cover yourself up when you're scared? And I had them all pinned down. And then next thing, it's going across the floor. And then bang, and it hit the roller door. And when it hit the roller door, I felt all these things land on the bed. And oh my, if you knew me, I'm scared of bugs. I've got a, what do you call it, agoraphobia, no? Something like that. I've got one of those things where I'm afraid of bugs. And so I was terrified. I woke up in the morning, couldn't believe I was still alive. And so I phoned up my best mate, Basil, and I said, Basil, I'm out in the outback at a place called, can't remember what it was called now, was where the first... some famous place in Australia, outback. And I phoned up Basil. I said, mate, you need to be here. Revival's happening. And the only reason I wanted him there, I wanted him in the room with me so he could sleep. And I got them to put another bed in there the next day. Basil flew in. He came and said, and how safe I felt. Because you always think the bugs will get him before they get me. The snake will get him before it gets me. It's kind of how I live my life. And so that night I slept like a stone. I slept like a fallen tree. And Basil was awake all night spraying insects and all that. Anyway, but here's the deal. That's how it started off. That's what I was trying to tell you. It started off like that. Yesterday I got a phone call from a guy in America, pastor of a massive church, and he said, we've just introduced a theme in our church called overflow. And he said, we're doing a conference on it, and we're expecting to be a massive conference, 10,000 people or whatever. And but he said, I wanted to find out a bit about this overflow, so I typed into the YouTube, or into the Google, sorry, the Google, overflow. He said, the first person that came up with you, and you were preaching a message on overflow in a church called C3 San Diego, and he said, boy, that was revival, and the power of God was falling there, and you're going to be our speaker. God told me you'll be our speaker in this conference. Never despise the day of small beginnings. Sleeping with snakes and bugs and spiders is where you start out. Wherever you are today, don't despise what God's got for you down the road. Does that help you today? Zechariah 4:10, for who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord that scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. He's got his eye on you today to bless you, to bring you victory, to cause you to be an overcomer, to cause you not just to live a selfish life where it's all about you, but to impart it to somebody else. Because if it's all about you, forget it. God wants us to live bigger than that. Who did you invite to church this week? Who did you invite? Who did you tell about the love of God? Who did you actually go up to today and learn that you're not about making money, that you're not about living your career, that you're not about, you're not a career, you're not a walking career, you're not a walking business, you are a walking relationship. Hello? You're a walking relationship. And this is what this 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean you won't have doubts. It doesn't mean you won't have fear. It doesn't mean you won't have a low self-esteem. But it does mean that if you're honest with yourself, God, I need your power in my life so that I can be an overcomer today. Amen? Amen. Did you learn anything?
Yeah.
Give God a big hand clap for it today. And I'm going to finish today, and there's a couple of things I want to say as I finish, okay? And then we're going to just whatever. Whatever. Hey, it's Pentecost Sunday. Get excited about that, all right? The one thing I do want to say to you, and I want to say this because I want to, a lot of you know that Danny Guglielmucci came this week, okay? How many know that Danny Guglielmucci came this week and hung out with us? Only about five people. I don't know whether it's even worth talking about it. Okay? Danny Guglielmucci is one of the key oversights of this church, international oversight, and he's been working with us, and many of you know, we want this church to really go into a season. We've called it Uncharted, and I'm very excited about where we're at. And I believe that right now is a prime time for where God is doing something in us, in our church, and in our future. And I want to say, get ready for it. Pastor Denny sat down with us this week and prayed with us, and we got into some real strategic thinking with him. And boy, I thank God that you can have great people who speak into your life. I thank God for apostolic oversight. I thank God for that we're not just a church that's just trying to do life, but we believe to be accountable, to have apostolic oversight and to do things that we believe God would journey us into victory. And so I need to say today, get ready for a new season. Nobody's excited about that. Pastor Tricia, come and give us a prophecy that you came up. Give her a mic and get her up here. She had a prophetic word this morning for the church in the prayer meeting. And I reckon you should give it to the whole congregation. Go for it. Give her a hand clap. Come on. Come on. Yeah.
So it was like I was watching the royal wedding last night, like a lot of you. And this morning, I'm always listening for what the Lord is saying. And sometimes the words He gives me, it's like, what? And it was a line of an old nursery rhyme. And it was, they're changing guard at Buckingham Palace. And it was like, what are you saying, Lord? And it was like, the guard is changing in the spirit, that this is a new season. That's a season to move out of the old into the new. That the old weapons that were effective in the past are no longer effective. And it's a time to move out of where you've been. And this is not just for a few. This is for everyone. for it's a new season in this nation. And God wants you to step out of the old into the new. And it's like when God said to Moses, you've been standing at this mountain long enough. Move out. There is more to come. There is more that I have for you. Don't just stand where you've always been comfortable. Don't just stand where you've always felt, this is my place. This is where I am. Because God is moving each one of us to a new level, to a new season for such a time as this. Because there is giftings and anointings. And there is a power coming into the church that God says, I want my people to be ready. I want my people to step out of the place that they have stood for such a long time and to hear the voice of my spirit, to get in step with my spirit. And that when I say move, you move. When I say stay still, you stay still. But now it is a season to move with me into the new thing that I have for you. For I am changing the guard in the spirit.
Woo! Come on, get on your feet and let's give God a massive applause this morning. Come on, let's stand up and just give God an applause for that word over us. Oh boy, God, you're awesome. I felt that was a word from heaven this morning, and because I know I've had quite a few people saying, so where are we at with the structure? People talk about complaining. People have complained to me for probably 2 years that we don't have enough communication down our structure line, that our structure's not working, that oh my God, some people want the structure to be bigger than the relationship side of it. We don't want flesh on the structure, we just want a structure so that we're boring and religious. Anyway, lots of, I've had all these complaints and issues. So quite a few people have asked me since Danny been here, so where's the structure at? Well, here's what I'm going to tell you, okay, just to make everybody in this church fired up. We've called this season Uncharted. How many know that? Uncharted. This is our year of Uncharted. We're going, right, so I love that word. But we have established, Pastor Danny's been here, we have established a new structure. Give God a head clap for that, okay? We've established a new structure. We finally got there. And I strongly believe, and we believe it's a God-led structure, and that is seriously God-ordained. And I'm believing right now that the best is yet to come. And I believe God's got his hand on it, and I'm looking forward to sharing how that outworks with every area and group in this church. But with respect to everybody here, with everybody, because we seem to get some people come to church once a month, once every second week, whatever. So with respect to that, as soon as we've spoken to all the people concerned, in order to honor them and appropriately get the plan in place, then we will share it with the whole church. All right? Are we good with that? We want to respect people and honor people. And so we want to honor the process as well, because processes need honoring. So we're going to honor the process by taking everybody on this journey so that our leaders and our congregation, of which we're all part of the crowd, can get excited about God's destiny and purpose for Inspire Church. Hallelujah. And so that we will indeed affect our society, our culture, our nation, our city, and this North Shore will all come to Christ in Jesus' name. Because reality is, it's never about structure. That's why I get disappointed about the word. It's not about structure, it's about vision. It's always about having a heart that would know the purpose of God and outwork that. And if your structure can't do that, it's useless. Hello. So I am excited. I want to thank you for your love, your trust. And at this time, I want to say, get ready for what God's doing in the life of our church. Amen.